This is an interview with Mrs. Barbara Cady Buffum for the Beaverton Oral History Project. The interviewer is Shirley Tanzer. The date is October 23rd, 1982, in Mrs. Buffum's home in Beaverton, Oregon. This is Tape 1, Side 1. Mrs. Buffum, where did your family come from?
Well, my family came from, my father came from Wisconsin, and then he went to Kansas and met my mother there, and then he came on out to Washington, where his father was located at the time, and then he went back and married my mother, and they came out to Washington, and then to McMinnville, and then to Beaverton.
Where in Washington did they?
In Ellensburg. They were there in Ellensburg for just, I don't know how long a time, but maybe several years.
How had your grandfather come to Washington?
How did he? I really don't know. I'm sure maybe by train.
Where had they come from in Europe?
My mother's or my father's people probably came from England originally. And I imagine my mother's people did too. I really don't, I'm not too sure about that far back.
Do you know why they decided to come to Oregon?
I think that my grandfather thought that the business climate was good here in Oregon. In one of the letters that I was just reading the other day about, that was written by one of my father's sisters, she wrote and said, if you think about ever coming this way, she said, boots and shoes are very expensive here. And she said, I'm sure that this would be a good place for you to locate. And my grandfather had been in the boot and shoe business. And so that's what, he was in the boot and shoe business in Ellensburg. And so I'm sure that that was the main reason that they came here.
When you say the boot and shoe business, was this the manufacturing?
No, I think it was just the selling.
Mm-hmm.
So far as I know, everything is always pointed to the having a store
mm-hmm.
where they retailed them.
So did he precede your father to your
grandfather? Yes, my grandfather was here first. And he came to Beaverton and had a store here. And then when my father left Ellensburg, he went to McMinnville. But he was in business with my grandfather there. But seemingly, my grandfather was in Beaverton because we have correspondence between my father in McMinnville and my grandfather here, and why they were divided, I mean, why they were separated, I really don't know.
Now, was your father in the same business as your grandfather?
Mm-hmm, yes. They were in business together, and my father was always in the store business for many, many years, but it did change from he left the shoe business, and when he sold the business in McMinnville and then moved to Beaverton. And he had a store not too soon afterwards. But that was, not a boot and shoe business, a store. It was food merchandise.
Where was that store?
I think the first one was across the railroad tracks, close to Stipe's garage. The building, of course, has been torn down and everything. But then after my father built the building in 1914, and there was always one, it was located where the children's shop is now. He had a store there. I can remember the store being in that location for many years.
The 1914 building then is at the corner of Farmington, is it not?
Yes.
and
Watson.
Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And the building is still standing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your grandfather was active in politics.
Yes, he was one of the, he was the first mayor of Beaverton.
And what was his name?
Alonzo Burt Cady. We always, everything has been referred to as A.B. Cady.
And he was the first mayor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you remember him?
No, I don't.
Oh. What have you heard about him from the family?
Well, let's see, what are my memories? I don't have too many memories or too many stories of my grandfather. I do know that he built a very nice home, and it is still standing. It's on Angel Street, up at 7th. It was in the middle of the block, again, between 6th and 7th, and Angel and Watson. But it was moved, maybe 20 years ago. So now it's on the corner of 7th and Angel. It has always had good care, and the people have appreciated that it was an old home and have taken care of it.
When was that home built?
I think in 1907, or six or seven.
He was Alonzo.
Mm-hmm.
Your father's name was?
Fred Willis, F.W.
Did they ever talk about their coming to Beaverton?
No, never really. I really don't know why they picked Beaverton, other than it was just, I really don't know why my grandfather picked Beaverton.
Did your father ever talk about what his expectations were when he came here?
Oh, just to make a living for the family and to be make life better for the family. He was very interested in education. He was on the school board for many years, and the story went that as my sister, when she finished her eighth grade here in Beaverton, and then she had to do most all of her high school work up at Tualatin Academy, which was a part of Pacific University. And she did all of her high school work there. Well, when my brother was 4 years younger than my sister, and so when he got ready for high school, my father kept adding grades in the grade school. And when Willis was ready for the ninth grade, well, then my father saw that there were teachers that could teach him, and the rest of the ninth graders, of course. And as Willis got older, why, my father kept adding grades to the school, and so until they had a high school here. So, but my father was always very interested in education, my mother too, because she had been a teacher in Kansas.
What kind of type of schooling did your father have?
He was a high school graduate, and then he went to business school in Portland at one time.
Mm. What business school would that have been? Do you know?
It's in the record someplace.
Well, what type of, while you're looking for that, what type of work did your father actually do?
Well, he had his stores. First he was with Katie Anderson Company, and then Katie Pig, and these were grocery stores, and I imagine a few notions and pins and needles and maybe some pots and pans, everything that the farmers would need, because he had a delivery route all through the countryside, and people would come in and order things and or call and call in orders, and then he or one of the people that was working with him would deliver them to the people out in the outlying areas. Mm-hmm. He went to Portland. I remember stories of his, he would hitch up his wagon and his team and go into Portland down over the canyon road, and when it was just the road was of planks, and it was an all-day trip. He would leave early in the morning and go in and get produce and things from Portland or anything that he needed, flour and sugar and that sort of thing, and then come back out, and he would get back out very late at night. He also, I remember the stories about when the gypsies would come to Beaverton, and at that time they were interested in only one thing, and that was in seeing how many things they could steal or filch from the store. And so they would also come into homes if they were very close, and we only lived four blocks from the store, so he would call my mother on the phone and say, "Mame, lock the doors, be sure Barbara's inside, the gypsies are in town."
Was he afraid for your personal well-being?
Maybe for my well-being, but he was afraid of what they would do, because if they would get in the house, they would just take everything in sight. And we always had nice dishes and silverware and things, and he didn't want Mother, he didn't know, he was afraid Mother couldn't handle it. And so he would always call her on the phone, lock the door.
Do you think she could have handled it?
I doubt it.
What type of a person was your mother?
A very calm person, one interested in education and music. Her church meant a great deal to her. She was always busy. She was organized. In those days, you washed on one day, you ironed on another day, you cleaned house on another day. Saturday was always her baking day, and she would bake a huge pot of beans and bread for the week and rolls and cakes, and I learned to grow up always, that was my job to bake the cakes then when I got old enough so that I could. But I think evidently the gypsies frightened her, because I grew up with that fear of gypsies. And so I imagine that, you know, they say that children get that from their parents. So I imagine that she was frightened of this.
I wonder why. Do you have any idea why?
Just because I think she couldn't understand them. They dressed differently, you know. They were dressed in their long skirts. And since they would come in and take everything, they would go through and just clean the counter off very fast, and you had no recourse, you see. And we didn't have policemen, per se, in Beaverton at that time.
Who were the law enforcement people in Beaverton?
I really don't know. I don't think there were any. Because I can remember when we got our first police chief, and that was, he just really did more patrolling around the stores. People just were inherently good, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they looked after each other.
Where did your mother's family live?
Well, they were in Kansas. They had originally come from the state of Vermont, and then they moved to Kansas. They went by train to Kansas, and then they lived there for many, many years. And then that's where my mother taught school. She rode horseback to a country school. And then after she married my father, why, they came out, of course, to the West Coast. And we have several stories of when Mother would go back to Kansas to visit, but then little by little, she was one of six children, and one sister at a time would come out. And one sister was one of her sisters was a school teacher, and another one was a secretary, and then two others came out and married people out here. And then finally, why, her mother and father came out.
And where did they live?
In Portland. Mm-hmm. They settled in Portland,
so
lived always
there. What year did her family come out?
I'm guessing, I'd say somewhere in the early 1900s, mm-hmm. because I have pictures of taken when I was a baby on my grandmother's porch, and I was born in 1912. So
and they had been here for a while.
I would say several years. Maybe they came in 1910. I really don't know.
Did your mother work out of the house?
No, never.
Mm-hmm. What were her interests?
Well, mainly music. And the church and her family. After my father died, why, she kept school teachers. And for 4 years she had them. And then she died just after my senior year in high school. And so she died of cancer. So that's why some of the things that I would have known about my mother's folks, mm-hmm. if she had lived longer, you know.
What were her other interests? Her church, her clubs, your mother's?
Well, that would be about it.
Mm-hmm.
She was just a... people weren't very active in outside things at that time. You were confined more or less to home, company, family. I mean, she always had big dinners, did lots of entertaining.
How large was the immediate family?
Well, there were just the three of us children, but she had all of these relatives in Portland, and so they would come out. My sister was living in Portland at the time. She was married, and they came out and by train.
What was your sister's married name?
Bankus. But they just entertaining. I said maybe would be another one of my mother's big interests, mm-hmm. because she did love to entertain. On Sunday evening, often my father and mother would, after evening service at the church, would ask everybody to come up and have a bite to eat. Mother always had plenty.
I mean, what was that bite to eat?
What would it be? Oh, we'd bring out the cold roast beef and the cake that had been made the day before, and her fresh bread that had been made the day before, and that was it.
Now, what is the age difference between you and your sister?
My sister was 20 years older than I, and my brother was 16 years older. I might have been what you might call an afterthought.
So you were probably essentially raised and pretty much by yourself in the house.
Oh, yes, I was.
Because when you were growing up, were your sister and brother still at home?
Not my sister. She was married when I was 8. My brother was around for more of the time, but I was raised alone and spoiled, I'm sure.
Did either one of them work at the store with your father?
My brother did, yes, mm-hmm, for quite a while.
And what was your father's role in the community? You said he was interested in the school board, and we know.
And he was interested in the town, because since he was a mayor of the town too. He was interested in the church. He was very active in the church. He was on the building committee when he died.
Of the church?
Of the church, uh-huh.
How important was a religion to you as a child?
Very important. It has remained all my life. I think and the idea of, came from my folks of that you must be a giver and not a taker. That your life is richer if you give.
Did they attend church regularly?
Oh yes, very much.
And do you mm-hmm. still do that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To what church?
We go to the Congregational Church. It's Bethel Congregational United Church of Christ.
Was this the same church that your parents
yes,
belonged
uh-huh.
to?
Mm-hmm.
And what about your own children? Do they?
They went to church too, as long as they were here. Mm-hmm. And as they have married, they have gone different ways. Some of them, one of our sons became a Catholic. He married a Catholic girl, and he became a Catholic, and they have a very fine family. And one of our other sons went to the Presbyterian Church and was active in it for many years. Our daughter has become a Methodist because there are no Congregationalists back in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Where in the area that she is, and so she's found a very good home in the Methodist Church.
Were you confirmed? Do you have a confirmation?
I wasn't confirmed. No, I just joined the church. That they didn't have confirmation classes in those days.
And were you married in that same church?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yeah, the church is a part of our life. One of the stories about my mother and why I think that she, in many ways, she was very dependent on my father, was that after my father died, we realized that she had never bought a piece of meat on her own. My father had always done all the meat purchasing, so she had to go down to the butcher and he had to tell her all the different cuts and everything. She knew how to cook them, but she just had never purchased anything. My father had always brought home all the meat.
Had he done all the grocery shopping?
I imagine a great deal of it, yes, since he had had the store for so many years. He was out of the store and had sold it and then had gone into real estate business and had been in real estate for quite a few years. And that was what he was doing when he died. But I imagine that he did most of the shopping because he was downtown, and so he just stopped at the store on his way home and brought everything home.
What years did he have the store?
Oh, I would imagine from about 1912, maybe even 1910. Until probably 1920, something like that.
And he served two terms as mayor, but they were not consecutive terms.
No, I don't think so.
So one was, do you remember the dates of the term?
No, I don't. I don't know the dates.
Well, we can.
We'll have to find them, because I don't know.
Are there any other things about the family that you would like to tell me?
We were a very close family. We were always together for birthdays and the holidays, and it was a very warm family to grow up in, and we had good times.
Did your sister visit Beaverton frequently?
Oh, yes. Oh, my, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. After my folks died, I made my home with either my sister or my brother for a good share of the time. I mean, you know, I was teaching, and so I had my own place, but until I could get on my feet, I had to make their home my home.
How old was your father when he died?
65.
Mm-hmm. And your mother?
About the same, about 65.
Mm-hmm. And she outlived him by how long?
By 5 years.
Mm-hmm. What did he die of?
A heart attack brought on by an accident. We had been going up the Columbia River Highway, had spent the day up there with, here again, with relatives. And we were coming back on Sandy Boulevard, and a truck turned left right in front of us. Mm. And my father couldn't stop in time. And so we hit the truck, and it injured many of us in varying degrees. We thought my father was going to get off scot-free because he seemingly came out of it just fine. But 3 days afterwards, he had the serious heart attack and died. Mm-hmm. He had had, for several years, he had had evidently hardening of the arteries because he'd had some chest pains and things. But they didn't know that much about heart trouble in 1925. Mm-hmm. And so there was nothing they could do for it. He had Dr. Mason, Dr. Old C.E. Mason, and there wasn't anything that he could do for him. And then he died 3 days later after the accident. We had the accident, I think it was on a Saturday, and my mother's little finger was almost cut off, and I remember my nephew had a bad bump. He was just 3 years old, and he had a bad bump on his head. Mm. And all of us were, thrown forward as we naturally, when a moving object hits another moving object, there's quite a bang. But anyway, that was the cause of his death.
Was he Mayor of Beaverton at that time?
Or? No.
So he, after his last term of office as mayor of Beaverton, did he continue being politically active?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. There was always something going on.
What were his major interests aside from being mayor?
Oh, just in the good of the community and things that would help Beaverton grow.
Did he discuss Beaverton's growth with you at all?
No.
And what about his, do you remember going to any of his organizations?
No, I was too young.
With him?
No. I was only 13, you see, when he died, mm-hmm. So I was a little too young for
and
it.
And then your mother lived until you were 18?
Yes, mm-hmm. Until I was 19.
Mm-hmm. And then where did you live after that?
Either with my sister or with my brother.
Which one did you spend the most amount of time with?
I imagine my brother, because he was here in Beaverton. Mm-hmm. And I had more friends in Beaverton.
Well, that is difficult, losing one's parents so young.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
How much schooling did you have?
Well, I had, after I graduated from high school in 1930, I went to Pacific University for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And then my mother had had a cancer operation the year I was a senior in high school. And so when I went to Pacific University, she felt pretty good, but yet she wasn't top notch. And then in the spring of the year, she began to realize that the cancer was returning. And so she asked me not to go the next year because mm-hmm. she had some high school teachers living with her, and she wanted me to stay home and help do the work. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And then in November, she died. And so then I was pretty good friends with one of the high school teachers that was living there, and so this high school teacher helped me, and I just continued putting meals on the table, and I got through the winter. I don't know how. I think they were all very good sports and just stuck it out with me, and everybody kind of helped me.
How old were you at that time?
19.
And you were running down this whole house.
Yes, I was running the whole house. I didn't know too much about it, but I managed.
So you some went way. To Beaverton Grade School,
mm-hmm.
and then from there to
Beaverton High School.
Beaverton High School.
Mm-hmm. Then Pacific University, mm-hmm. and then after my mother died, and in the spring of the year of 31. Spring of 32, a friend came who I had graduated from high school with and said, "Barbara, what are you going to do to now?" And I said, "I really don't know." I said, I've just, because this was this, we were in the Depression at the time. And I said, "I really haven't any idea." And she said, "Well, have you thought about teaching?" And I said, "Yes, but I can't go back to Pacific University because, of course, my brother and sister."
This is a continuation of an interview with Barbara Cady Buffum by Shirley Tanzer for the Beaverton Oral History Project. This is tape one, side two. The date is October 23rd, 1982. You were talking about your teaching or going back to school.
I knew I couldn't go back to Pacific University, even though if my father had lived, well, I would have graduated from there too, because my brother and sister both had graduated from there. And he was a very firm believer in education and higher education. And so I know that I would have graduated also from Pacific. But I just didn't have the money. And my father had, when he died, he owned quite a bit of property in Beaverton because he had been in real estate, and so he had bought and sold and bought and sold and traded around, and so he owned quite a few places. But some of them were mortgaged, and the people that had bought them had to let them come back to us, or if they were mortgaged, my mother, after she died, I didn't have the money to keep paying on the mortgages. And so we lost a lot of the property. But this friend that I mentioned, she told me about Monmouth and that she was sure that I could come and go to Monmouth and go for one full year. And she thought that maybe quite a few of my credits that I had earned at Pacific University would go towards my teaching certificate. Mm-hmm. And so I went down to Monmouth to find out about it. And so I started in June then of 32 and went for one full year. And then I graduated from.
Where did you teach?
I taught for 4 years up at Tualatin View. It's now it's a little church. But it's on Barnes Road up on at 84th, the corner of 84th and Barnes Road. And I taught for 4 years up there. I went back and forth from Beaverton. And then I went to Kenton, which that school was a two-room school, and I taught the first 4 grades. And the first year that I taught up there, I got $50 a month salary. And those were in bonds, because you couldn't cash them, and if you cashed them, you got a discount. The bank would discount them about 10%. And so I had borrowed money to go to Pacific University, and I paid back all my money I borrowed. They took them and kept them and then cashed them when because they were all school warrants, and so they held them for me, and I cleared up my $200 that way. But it was pretty tough for the first year. By 34, money was getting to be a little bit easier, and we would get a few warrants, and then once in a while we would get a paycheck. My second year of teaching.
So how did you manage to live?
Well, it was very interesting. You traded this for that.
Like what?
Well, every once in a while, then, you see, I would go down to the bank and I would cash one of my warrants. But they would cash, but they would, you would have to pay, they would discount them, maybe 10%. And so I would get a little bit of cash. And so that would, I would make that stretch for a long, long way. And then I boarded. I still had our big house, our home there that I told you about. And some people were living in it, trying to rent it. And the man finally lost his job. And so my board was their rent. And so I got to live most of the time with them for nothing, for just my rent, you see, that they would have paid me. They couldn't pay me any money.
Now the house at that time was an angel between
fourth and fifth.
Fourth and fifth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was moved then to
No, not that one. That was my grandfather's house. No.
So this house is still standing.
Yes, but it's a wreck.
To whom was the house sold when you sold?
To the Peterson family. I guess it was. Oh, I was in 32. I can't remember. 33, 34. Either to the Peterson family or to Anna Barnes. She was Anna Peterson Barnes. Mm-hmm. Maybe she bought it. I can't remember. But they bought it finally, I think.
Did they buy the house and the property as
mm-hmm,
well?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you hang on to any of the property?
I hung on to two homes, yes. Mm-hmm. Two houses. And got to... They helped me through... Oh, for several years. Mm. Quite a few years, in fact. They helped me along.
Did you ever help out in the family store?
No, not in our family store, no. My brother had a store at one time, and I helped out in that. And then I used to work for Mr. Miller. How long have you been in Beaverton?
About 25 years.
Did you know Mr. Miller when he had a grocery store down there?
Was that the corner store?
The corner store in
yes.
Watson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I used to work for him during the war years. I clerked in the summertime. By that time, I was teaching at Merle Davies School, the grade school in Beaverton.
So when did you go over to Merle Davies?
Oh, in 39, I think it was. 1939, I came to Beaverton.
And you had Miss Merle Davies as your principal?
Yes, in the eighth grade, and then I came back to teach for her.
Oh, tell me about her.
Oh, she was a very, very fine person, a very strict disciplinarian, very fussy about the upkeep of the schools, the halls. Everything had to be just tip-top shape. We had a man that was janitor by the name of Johnny Summers, and he used to take just a number one care of that school. But I know she made his life terrible at times because she would say, Johnny, there's a spot here on the wall, or Johnny, there's something wrong here, you know. But anyway, she was a large lady, an imposing woman. The children were scared to death of her, of her size. And the teachers were frightened of her, too.
When you say large, do you mean large, tall?
Frame. A large frame woman.
And she was heavy?
And she was heavy, yes. Uh-huh. And, but a very nice person. I mean, really. She held that. She was quite reserved. And you had to get underneath that reserve to know her.
Who are some of the other teachers that you recall from those days, from your school days?
From my school days? Oh, well, I had several. I can just think of names, but I don't know what's happened to them or where they are or anything.
Well,
I mean...
I'm not so interested in where they are as I am
I'm sure they're
the
all
influence
dead.
They had on you.
I don't know. I think probably Miss Davies had the most influence on me, really, of any of the teachers.
Why?
Just because she was such a strong personality. Some of the other teachers didn't have the personality that she did. Well, she always read to us. We always had, she would read good books to us. And we were always, you know, that always impressed me. When I became a teacher, I always read to my students. And I always looked forward to it when she would do it.
What were some of the books that she read? Do you recall?
I don't remember any of them now. But there were good stories. Stories that you would read. Perhaps Hans Brinker and the Silver Skate, you know. Heidi. Some of those old stories.
Did she teach then as well as being a principal?
When I went to school to her, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what was her subject matter?
Well, she taught the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. So it was just a general curriculum.
Yes, yes.
Oh, what about her family? What about the Davies family? Do you know anything?
No, I don't know very much about her family. Mm-hmm. No, but she never married. And I think she had a brother, but I think he preceded her in death. She really was, she wasn't a mixer, mm-hmm. particularly. I think mainly because of her size. Mm-hmm. I think she always felt like she was a little too big.
So your first job was really, your first professional job with school was teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then what after you taught it at?
I taught it to Alton View, and then at Kenton Grade School, and then at Beaverton Grade School, mm-hmm. which later became Merle Davies Grade School.
Who was the principal at, was it Kenton that had Miss, or was it Beaverton that had Miss Davies? It was Beaverton
that had Miss Davies.
Miss Davies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where was the Kenton school?
The Kenton is out towards Shoals. Mm-hmm. It's was south and south of town.
Was it part of the Beaverton school system?
No,
as well?
No, it was just, they had these country schools just scattered all over. There was Highton and there was Kenton. And they would be one room or two room schools in those days. And they were in separate school districts.
Had you ever thought of taking over the family business?
Have I ever thought?
Had you ever thought about it when you were young?
No, mm-hmm. no. Mm-mm. The women didn't do things like that in those days. You taught school or you became a nurse, I believe. How times have changed.
They certainly have. What happened to the family building? The house was sold, but to whom was the Cady building sold?
Oh, I don't have any answer to that question at all. I think my mother sold it. Seems like I can remember after Daddy died. But I don't know to whom. I really don't.
And so you've really not been involved at all with the building?
No.
That. Except that it still does bear yes. the family mm-hmm.
name. That's all. Mm-hmm.
What are your particular political interests?
Political?
Political?
I don't think we should talk politics at this stage in the game.
Are you active politically?
No, I don't go and work for anybody, if that's what you mean, mm-hmm. for any party or anything like that. I guess I have been influenced by my husband for all these years because he was a government worker, and a government worker could never show allegiance to one party or another, and they were not ever allowed to work for anyone. And I was married while I was still teaching at Beaverton Grade School, and so I have just grown up with this fact that you didn't participate in any politics at all.
How did you meet your husband?
Oh, he was in the post office, and that was a very good way to meet him. Plus, I had a very good friend that married one of the men from the post office. And so we both went to their wedding together. I mean, no, we went to their wedding, and then my husband thought, he, at least this is what he says, well, if Bertha would stoop to marrying a postal employee, why, I thought, gee, maybe I can take you out. And so we started dating. And so then we were married shortly thereafter.
What year was that?
In 44.
And you have four children.
Yes, two of them are stepsons. Mm-hmm. He had two sons, and before our previous marriage, and so two of them are. But he had them at home, and so when we were married, well, I had an instant family, and then we had two more.
That was one boy and one girl. One girl.
Yeah.
I am interested because your father, your grandfather, and your father's lives were so political. I mean, your father's life had to be as mayor of Beaverton. Was it an appointed position or an elected position?
I really don't know. I imagine appointed, but yet I don't know. That question has never entered my mind. I really don't know.
Well, and particularly since he was mayor for two different periods, it would be interesting to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
Was he Republican or Democrat?
Republican.
By persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear of a Ku Klux Klan in Beaverton?
No.
Well, there was a Klan in Beaverton, and a number of people have talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been very interesting if you had heard about it to have known what your father's reaction would have been to that.
Mm-hmm. No, I never heard of it.
A number of people told me that either somebody in their family had belonged to it, or they had seen them, and that they were more like a social group than anything else. Although, without a doubt, they were banded together for more than social reasons.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I wondered whether you had heard about.
No.
So your family then, has your family historically been Republican and been consistently Republican?
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, I'm sure. And I had been registered Republican, and it's always been a laughing joke between the two of us, because when one time when we thought maybe it would help my husband, why, I changed and became a Democrat. But we have always voted for the person and not the party anyway, so it doesn't matter whether I'm a registered Democrat or Republican, really.
It only matters in the primary, really.
No.
You said you would switch your allegiance when you felt it would help your husband. What particular issues were important?
He was had his name in for the post office job to be postmaster, and this was at a time when party politics came in and played a big part, and your only Democrats had a chance at the job. And so we thought, well, maybe I should be a registered Democrat too, because he always has been a Democrat. And so I changed then, but he had, you had to be very active in politics and contribute money to this fund and that fund, you know, and go to that dinner and that. And that just didn't, he didn't want the job that badly. I mean, it was entirely against our principles to buy a job.
Once you bought it, would you really want it?
That's right. Yes, he decided that the more he found out about it, why, he didn't want it. So he just stayed as assistant postmaster and was very happy.
How long was he the assistant postmaster? Yeah.
Many years. Yes.
Uh-huh. And I retired don't know. When?
In 1970.
How strongly do you identify with Beaverton?
Very strongly.
Is this based upon your childhood there or other reasons?
Oh, just because, I think because I have many ties here, ties because I was born here, because I like the valley. I have many memories of my folks here and memories of when my when we would be driving out from Portland, coming down the West Slope Hill, and we could, my father would never fail to say, "Look at those lights of the valley. Isn't that beautiful?" This would be at nighttime. And he loved the valley. And I think I have some of that love still there. I'm sorry in some ways to see Beaverton get so big and to become such a suburb of Portland. I mean, so in many ways, you know. It was nicer when it was a little bit smaller and you knew more of the people. And yet, this is progress, so. But I'm tied to Beaverton.
When you say you knew so many of the people, do you still keep contact with the people that you knew?
I keep contact with several of them. I have one good friend that now lives in Grants Pass, and she was one of my girlhood friends. And mm-hmm. she lived, it was Helen Teft. She was Helen Teft. Mm-hmm. And she lived up on the corner of 6th and Angel. And when I said that our street in front of our house was never a road or a street as such, we would meet halfway between the homes, and we had a little hill, which was just a little mound. The grass and the dirt was uneven there, the ground was uneven, we'd play on that hill for hours on end. We called it our hill. And she went all through grade school and high school with me, and we have kept in touch. See each other about once or twice a year.
Anyone else here directly?
No, I have a good friend in Hillsborough also from those high school days.
And who is that?
Gladys Bush.
Oh yes, she is on the list to be.
I see.
To be, yes. How do you feel about? You mentioned that Beaverton has changed, and you suppose that's progress. However, as you look at Beaverton from the post-war period to today, if you were going to devise a master plan for it, what would it be for its growth?
Now? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's very interesting that, I think we should try to perhaps keep the downtown area going in some way. I'm happy to see it being rejuvenated. I wonder about the advisability of a big hotel coming in. I don't think it might be fine for Beaverton. I just wonder about whether it would go bottoms up. I think there are good shopping areas around. I hate to see too many apartments become located, and yet, at the price of housing, I guess we have to go to the apartments for a living. So, what I would think is best wouldn't be practical. And I'm too practical a person at times. So.
Well, the Beaverton Town Square concept instead of the downtown Beaverton.
Yes.
Concept, that's particularly what I wondered.
I think that's nice.
Town Square.
I think that has its place. And yet I think, I don't know I hate to say what I wish, because I don't know. Is Dean's Drugstore making a go of it? Is the children's shop making a go of it? stores that are in downtown Beaverton itself? What's happening to them?
Well, I don't know that they're going to be making a go of it now with the town square.
No.
I mean, there are going to be people who are going to be using those because they're used to it.
Mm-hmm.
These are, for the most part, people who walk mm-hmm. to downtown Beaverton mm-hmm. rather than those that drive, unless their prices are so much less. I think the stores in Beaverton Town Square, you know, have to amortize their rent, so they're a little higher
mm-hmm.
than. But it certainly isn't downtown Beaverton.
No. And I've talked to Roy Maurer and Mr. Rosenberger, who have the Rexall Drug Store downtown. Mm-hmm. And I know they've talked about maybe moving, but they just say, well, we'll stick it out here for a little while longer. So
because it's really hard to move something with as much stock as you have in a store like that.
Yes, uh-huh. But it's hard on them, too. It's but there's no place to park. And I know for us, we still get some of our prescriptions down there just because we feel like we should
mm-hmm.
To help them out. But yet we go to some pharmacies that are closer to us.
And a little less expensive.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I mean, they have, you know, their little specials.
Mm-hmm.
The pharmaceutical products, I don't think you can, you know, it's hard to beat Fred Meyer's.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when your competition is Fred Meyer's,
Or Payless.
Or Payless, yeah, that's really tough mm-hmm, on the merchants.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the period of time when your father was mayor?
No.
Not a, neither one of them?
No.
Mm-hmm. One was a little later.
Yes, but you see, in 1918, when I would have been six, and really we start to remember things. He was mayor then, but I don't remember too much about, I don't imagine he discussed politics at home too much. He might have, but I don't remember it.
Who was the mayor then? Do you remember any of the other mayors?
No. Mm-mm.
So did your father continue as long as he lived to be active in city politics?
Yes, mm-hmm. I would say so.
But he didn't speak about it?
No, I don't remember it.
What a shame.
Mm-hmm.
That's unfortunate because he apparently made a major contribution to the community.
I'm sure he did. If he talked about it, as a child of 11 or 12, a lot of the time, I wasn't interested, and so maybe I just closed my ears. I really don't know. I don't have any memories of that.
Looking back over your life in Beaverton and your experiences, what difference has it made to you that you are a Protestant, that you are white, a white Protestant living in Beaverton?
What difference?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's made any difference to me. I have been sorry that we haven't had more minorities around in this area for our children to grow up with. I think they have been cheated of knowing some very fine people. One of our sons was a very good friend of a Japanese boy, and he was just a wonderful person.
This was at Beaverton High School?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a dentist here in Beaverton. Now, they have never known any Negroes, our children, and I think it's to their disadvantage because there are many other cultures besides ours, and I think there are many things to be offered to children. If I imagine that I have been cheated too, in many respects. I suppose that would be the difference in my life, that I've had to learn about them from television, radio, and other ways.
Do you remember any anti-Catholic feeling or any black or any anti-Oriental feeling that manifested itself in Beaverton?
Oh, no, not that manifested itself in Beaverton. My mother had a dislike of Catholics, yes, and she got that. My grandmother had a dislike of Catholics. I had an uncle, one of my mother's only brother, married a Catholic woman and became a Catholic. And my grandmother Hills would not see my uncle for many, many, many years. It was just terrible. I mean, you know, and when I was in one of my years that I was teaching, I went down and spent a summer with this uncle and his family. And he was the neatest person. I just loved him dearly. And his children. And he had two boys that were just my age. And we had the best time that summer. But my mother was dead at that time. But they were on speaking terms by then. Mm-hmm. But in my early life, why, they certainly weren't. And I can remember my mother saying, oh, there are so many Catholics in Beaverton, so many. Now, I did do a little bit of work.
This is a continuation of an interview with Barbara Cady Buffum by Shirley Tanzer for the Beaverton Oral History Project. This is tape 2, side 1. The date is October 28th, 1982. The place is Beaverton, Oregon, in Mrs. Buffum's home.
Mrs. Buffum, tell me about your father's political activities as you can recall them.
Well, all I can remember is that he was a lifelong Republican and very vitally interested in all the issues that were prevalent at that time, or that were, you know, that something that whatever was going on. I'm sure that he had ideas about them.
Did he talk about his ideas at home?
I can't remember that. I'm very sorry.
What about his concerns about Beaverton, about city politics?
Well, in thinking back about some of these things, of course, he came to Beaverton and was here when it was just a very wide spot in a road, the dirty road at that, a muddy road. I'm sure that he tried to, or he wanted to, see it improve, and so he would be very forward-looking in the things that happened. My impression of him would be that, because our family was never one that sat still, but we were always making improvements of this way or that way.
Well, he apparently had learned a good deal from your grandfather. Your grandfather was mayor of Beaverton.
Yes, in 1905.
Mm-hmm. And your father was mayor of Beaverton twice.
Twice. In 1909 to 1910, and from 1917 until 1919.
Now, do you remember anything about that 1917 to 1919?
No, I don't remember anything. Mm-hmm. I found something. My brother went into the service. He enlisted in the service in 1918. And in looking back in my father's papers and things, I found where he had sent a wire to my brother asking him to get out of the service because his health was very poor.
Your father's health?
Yes, my father's health was very poor in 1919. And so he wanted him home. He said that there was too much business that he was needed in the store.
What was the nature of your father's illness at that time?
I'm sure it was all his heart problems. And I'm sure that he had hardening of the arteries, and that he had these, because I can just remember these chest pains that he would complain about, and he would have to sit up all night long. So you see, I was only 7 at the time, but he was so much older, and if his health was poor, he wasn't concerned about sharing his politics and whatnot with us. He, I'm sure, talked to my mother, but not to me.
I just wondered whether he handed down his political interest like his father had to him, to your brother.
No, my brother wasn't particularly interested in politics as such. Everyone in the family grew up with an interest in who was going to be our next president, or who was going to be, the governor of the state, and even down to the local politics too. We always have been vitally interested, but we never worked, put out of work for them. They were particularly political. They would have been more apt to be on what was happening locally in the schools and things. I remember when I was in high school that we always, this was after my father had died, but we always went to all the school plays. We went to any Chautauqua meetings that came around. We took in everything that we could for our betterment. My mother wanted us, we want to go to this Chautauqua meeting. We'll see somebody there that is good, maybe, you know. She was very vitally interested in education and the schools. Anything that went on at the high school, we always went to.
And your father was very much
yes,
involved.
Yes, and school. my father before that was too. So,
How many years was he on the school board?
Someplace, I think, around 15 years.
Mm-hmm. That was an interesting story that you told me about his adding a grade. Mm-hmm.
He added, as my brother got older and ready for high school, there hadn't been a high school in Beaverton, but since my father was on the school board, he kept adding a grade as well each year so that Willis could graduate here in Beaverton and not have to go to Forest Grove to Alton Academy. My sister had gone up to the academy for her high school education. She had gone by train. The Oregon Electric went to Forest Grove, and so she went that way every day.
So you were able to graduate from high school in Beaverton?
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
But you did not go on to college.
I had 1 year in college and then 1 year at Oregon College of Education at Monmouth.
But your father actually had provided for your education.
Yes, he had wanted me to, and it was, as I said, I found his last will and testament, and it said that he wanted me to have an education that I should be provided for until I was 30, unless I married first.
Well, did it specify where you should go to school?
I think it did, yes. He wanted me to go to Pacific University because that was near at home, and he thought that it was a good school.
Now, I want to ask you about the businesses. There was a Katie Anderson.
Yes.
And then there was a Katie Peg. Mm-hmm. And if you could give me the historical sequence of this, I'd appreciate it.
Well, It was the Katie Anderson Company first, and this was the a general store, as I remember it. Then later, Mr. Pegg must have bought out Mr. Anderson's part in it, and then it became the Katie Pegg Company. And that went on until 1921, when I don't know whether they just dissolved the partnership or what, but my father went into real estate at that time, and he was in real estate at the time of his death in 1925.
Did he sell the store then?
I really don't know what happened to it. We had, there are several references that Mr. Pegg was in banking, so I don't know just when he went into banking. But he was also the mortician here, and the only one that we had in Beaverton.
Mm-hmm. So everyone in Beaverton was forced to do a number of things.
Yes.
You also mentioned that your father was in real estate, and of the properties that he purchased in those early days, are there any that are still in the family name?
No, there's none. No, what they were left to me, and that the mortgages didn't take, I sold. I sold two homes to different times.
Tell me about the Katy building itself, the building that is still.
Well, it was built in 1914 and was the brick building, a very good brick building. It had many different businesses in it. The bank was there for quite a while.
What bank was this?
I think it was, well, when Jay Gibson started, then it became the
First Security
under, otherwise, what was it for Mr. Doy Gray?
I don't know.
Just Beaverton Bank, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the bank was there, and there was a drugstore there.
Did your father have a store there?
And our store was down at the end where the children's shop is now.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, what was it called?
Katie Anderson and then the Katie Pegg.
Oh, but in that, because there's an early wooden building that was called Katie Anderson. So I wondered when that was built, if it was...
That was across the tracks. And so that was probably before... Then after Dad built the building, well, then they moved from there over to into the brick building.
How much time did you spend in your father's store?
I didn't spend very much time, really. I can just remember coming down to the store to get things from Mother, doing errands for my father, perhaps, but... just to come to the store, I know they always said that my poor teeth came from coming down to the store, and Dad would always give me candy. So,
it was just
a general merchandise store, and I can remember the jars of candy around and things that he had. And I'm sure he must have had a big cracker barrel and, you know, and things that, and a big wheel of cheese, because this was very typical of stores in those days. But other than that, and he gave presents at Christmas time or calendars and things, because that's where my baby picture appeared on one of his calendars. And then, as I've told you, he gave plates one year. But...
And the dustpan, yes.
And so it was really probably the only store in Beaverton for quite a while.
And as a child, what did you do for amusement?
We had a big swing in our yard, and how I loved to swing. We had a chicken yard, and in the chicken yard were two of the nicest Gravenstein apple trees you ever saw. And so in the summer, I would run in and get myself an apple and take it into the kitchen and wash it good because it had fallen where the chickens were. So then I would go find a nice shady spot and read a book. And that was one of my things. And then I had a girlfriend, Helen Taft Knowlton, who lived two blocks from me, and we would meet at a little hill. It was just there wasn't a street there, it was just ground, and this hill was halfway in between our two homes, and we would play there in the summertime. And she was a very good friend, and we went all the way through grade school and high school together, and I still see her.
Where is
about
the hill?
Once or twice a year.
Does she still live here?
She lives in Grants Pass now.
Where is the hill still there?
No. When they paved the street, why, they took the hill out. And then in high school, why, of course, we went to all the games and everything. So, I wasn't allowed to dance. My mother didn't approve of dancing in those days. And so we would, on Sunday nights, after we would go to church and to the young people's meeting, I would go home with Helen Taft, this good friend of mine, and her father would play for dances. And so Helen would, of course, knew how to dance. So we decided, her younger sister and Helen decided they would teach me how to dance. And so on Sunday nights, unbeknownst to my mother, I learned how to dance. And then as I got into high school, why, my mother found out about it. And she didn't approve really of my dancing, and yet she could see that I was not having the fun and getting to go as much as Helen did. So when I was a junior in high school, she asked me what I wanted to do, what was the most, the thing that I desired to do the most. And I told her I wanted to have a dance at my home. And so, bless her heart, she took up our dining room rug, moved all the furniture out of one of our living rooms, and got down on her hands and knees and waxed the floor and let me have a dance. So that was quite a switch in position for her. But times had changed since she had raised her other two children, and she realized that she needed to change to keep me happy. And she wanted me to be at home and have a good time and have a party. So that's how she changed.
What kind of a party did you have?
Oh, I had a wonderful party. I can just remember that we had a good time.
Did you have a good many people?
I don't imagine more than probably 10 or 12, probably 5 or 6 couples, because there at that time, my junior year, there were about 5 or 6 couples of us that ran around together and did lots of things together, so I imagine that's what we did. I mean, about that number of people.
Do you remember who was at that dancing party?
No, I don't, other than I'm sure Helen was there and a couple of the other girls that I ran around with at the time. But I've often thought about how my mother swung with the times. And I've tried to do that too, as my children have went through the 60s, that we had to make some changes in our values too.
Well, except your values perhaps haven't changed, but you've changed your acceptance of their values, perhaps.
Yes, maybe that's better to say.
Yeah,
I'm thinking right now of the hair question, of the long hair. We had a boy, one of our sons, that had long hair, and it was very difficult for us to accept.
Particularly me. The voice from the kitchen.
Yes. But anyway, you know, you just...
And he grew out of it.
Oh, I'm not so sure. The last time I saw him, it was not short, but not too long either.
Tell me about then your after your mother died, then when you graduated from high school, and your father was dead then,
uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So your social life and the things that you did in Beaverton were changed considerably.
Yes, uh-huh. Everything had changed. And then, you see, during that was the Depression. And so our everything was turned around. And I was away from here, from Beaverton, for a full year. Came back, rented our family home out to a family by the name of Godfrey's, and lived with them while I taught. And didn't I go into some
yes,
of this?
Yes, you did. You did.
About the warrants.
Yes, you did. You did say that. Well, then you and Clarence were married.
Yes, not in 1944.
Mm-hmm.
And we immediately, there was a group of people that we had known, that I had known, and Clarence became acquainted with them. They chivalried us after our wedding, and we formed a club. It was called at one time the Saturday Night Club, that never met on Saturday night. It met on Tuesday nights. But it's been a group of people that there are about 12 of them that we, some of them are widowed now, but we still see them just sometimes once a week, sometimes only twice a month, but very good friends.
Who are some of these people? That are they Beaverton people?
Yes, Paul and Frieda Knapp are one of them. Martha and Willard Erickson. Willard has died. Amaret Barnes and Bernice Conley, two teachers, Beaverton teachers that have retired, but they have lived here for a long time. I used to live with Amaret Barnes before I got married. There are some others that have come into the group, haven't been here so long, but we've had a lot of good friends.
And how was this group banded together?
Well, first it was a church group. One of our the minister that married us started the group. And we were to meet once a month and have a good discussion and eats. And then it just gradually changed as that minister left. It has turned into a discussion group. It kept that way, I should say. It kept that same format for many, many years. And then, I suppose, about 20 years ago, we learned to play Mahjong. And now we meet to play Mahjong. And that's it.
Have your children grown up together as well?
Yes, a lot of our children have, uh-huh. They were different ages, but we always had a 4th of July picnic for all the families. And then we always had a New Year's Eve progressive dinner just for the couples in the group.
Do your children have the same strong sense of Beaverton, belonging to Beaverton, as you do?
I don't know whether they do or not. I have often wondered. I don't think so.
What do you think is the difference?
Well, maybe because I grew up in Beaverton when it was such a very small town, and my folks had played such a start in building it. And they just grew up here. And they haven't seen it progress from nothing to what it is now.
How strongly do you feel about Beaverton?
Well, at times I feel very strongly about it. At other times it has changed so fast that I don't like it anymore. And my husband and I, this last winter, received a letter when we were down in New Mexico from a grandson who wanted to buy our home. And so we really had to stop and think, did we want to hang on to this place or did we want to sell? And so we have decided that, yes, we wanted to hang on to our home for at least a few more years, and that we didn't want to live permanently in New Mexico to have that. We still, both of us, feel very tied to this area. Our friends are here, my whole past history is here. And I guess I feel very strong to Beaverton. There's an attachment there that goes very deep. I'm not a person that likes to move, particularly. We lived here for 21 years in this home, and I'm very happy here. But on the other hand, with our daughter living in New Mexico, I have very strong attachment to where she is, too. We have, both Clarence and I have a very strong relationship with our daughter. She's a wonderful daughter. And so we are very fortunate that we can spend 4 or 5 months down there too with her, close to her. I wouldn't want to live with her, but be close.
As you reflect back on your family, your whole family, grandfather, father, mother, entire family, what picture do you draw of them?
They were very strong people, strong or staunch. The word staunch Republican was used to describe my father, and I think that's good, a very good word to describe him, because he was a strong person. Whatever he believed it strongly. He was a very fine churchman. My mother was too. Very good, I had strong beliefs in what was right and what was wrong. And they were just wonderful parents.
And citizens.
Yes, definitely.